They were wrong about that. They said it would be unaffordable for the country. They were wrong about that.
You had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in. It made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money. It would not have passed. Okay? Just like the people, lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
No one has to keep their private insurance. They can buy into this plan. And they can buy into it with a $1,000 deductible and never have to pay more than 8.5% of their income when they do it. And if they don't have any money, they'll get in free. So this idea is a bunch of malarkey.
The technical issues plaguing the Obamacare website rollout are only part of the problem. Many who managed to navigate the system, gotten quotes, planned to sign up, are now saying no thank you. They're finding the Affordable Care Act is unaffordable, at least for them.
Their health care company has informed them their current plan will cease in the next year because it doesn't comply with the Affordable Health Care Act. She needs to find a new plan. So Christy, a part-time teacher, and her husband, who owns a video company, went online. And after a week of trying, finally figured out just what kind of insurance she could get under the Affordable Care Act. And for her, it seems unaffordable.
All that really truly is a tapeworm on the economic system. I mean, it is eating up, instead of $170 per person in 1960, when we actually thought we were doing pretty well in this arena, to over $10,000 per person. Just think of that, $10,000 per person. You know, family of four, on balance, $40,000 of GDP going to just one aspect of their lives.
More than a decade before the Affordable Care Act's disastrous consequences became undeniable, Alex Jones, Michael Snyder, and Mike Adams repeatedly warned that Obamacare was deliberately engineered not to fix health care, but to break the private insurance market and force America into a government-run single-payer system.
It will actually reduce the deficit by $4 trillion over the long term. Reducing the waste and inefficiency in Medicare and Medicaid will pay for most of this plan. It will slow the growth of healthcare costs for our families, our businesses, and our government. There will be a provision in this plan that requires us to come forward with more spending cuts if the savings we promised don't materialize.
They documented Obama's serial abandonment of the public option, his knowingly false promises that Americans could keep their plans and doctors.
If you've got health care already, then you can keep your plan if you are satisfied with it.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
The president opens the borders up, but then he says, but we're not going to pay for any of the health care. This is 100% paid for by state taxpayers. The program of health care that they get is actually better than those of our own residents that are on Medicaid. So our low-income, struggling families in Illinois that are on Medicaid, they do not get as good a services as these non-citizens are getting that are coming into Illinois. So that's costing us significantly more than it costs our own residents. And in addition to the over $1 billion cost of health care, we're also providing free daycare for their children. We're including free housing, food subsidies, cash subsidies. So the total cost of this program is in the billions of dollars. And that means key programs for our developmentally disabled, for our seniors. These people are now being crowded out. Our own citizens' programs are not getting the funding they need because now we are becoming the healthcare provider for every sick individual in the world that can come to Illinois.
Over $1 billion stolen in just the past few months in six states. Individuals aren't doing much better. According to a recent report, 6.4 million people are fraudulently receiving Obamacare subsidies from you and me. 62% of Obamacare subsidy recipients don't even qualify. That lie is costing all of us over $27 billion a year, all while our insurance premiums just keep escalating.
The horrible truth, the failures Americans have endured for going on two decades were not accidents of implementation, but the intended result of a law whose architects knew from the beginning it would never deliver what they promised and doom Americans to the healthcare reality nightmare we are experiencing in 2025. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot to dive into in the final hour of today's show, and we've got our good friend Stuart Rhodes here to help me with all of that. We're kicking off today's show, obviously, with a lot going on, but I wanted to highlight what our first call, or one of our callers who called in before, Chad did, because you were listening on your way in.
Yes.
And it's important for us to highlight that he was going off on the rogue judges, and how do we fix this issue? And that's how we kind of started off this show, highlighting all the rogue judges, what they've been doing. Obviously, James Boasberg is like the big name that comes to mind when we think about that, but also, you know, we just heard about this judge, I believe it was in Minnesota, who decided just to toss out the jury who convicted a Somalian man of fraud, and she just tossed it out because she just didn't think it was appropriate. The decision that they came to and what the prosecution was saying was appropriate, so she just decided to take it amongst herself to toss it all out. I mean, we've got a issue when it comes to these judges.
Absolutely.
Chad wanted to know how we fix it.
Well, I think the best thing to do is exposure.
Yeah.
I've been saying this for years, but it's the answer. First, you expose their own criminality. All of these judges are just like all the congressmen. They're all corrupt. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why they're where they're at. That's how they got where they're at. And that's how they're protected. So you need to expose them. President Trump can do that. I think you should put Tulsi Gabbard in charge of the mission and use his, delegate to her his power to declassify. And I was listening to Alex yesterday talking about how they need, like, his own intelligence service outside of the CIA, because the CIA is so corrupt. Yeah. Well, he's got it. It's called the U.S. military. U.S. military intelligence handled all of our intelligence for our country before the CIA, so they're not even necessary. So what they should do is put Tulsi Gabbard in charge of declassification and use military intelligence. And it comes right down to it. They should just kick everybody out of the CIA building, out of the NSA buildings, and the FBI, for that matter, even under Cash Patel right now. Just kick them all out, have them go do some remote, you know, work from home, and then go through and clean out all the files and find all the dirt and all the, start with the judges. Start with the judges and then go through Congress too. So just like with Elon Musk, he took over Twitter. First thing he did is blew the doors open and showed all the internal chatter, DHS, NSA, CIA agents sitting in, FBI sitting in with Twitter about who to censor. All of that was exposed by Elon Musk. Exposure is the answer. Doge was the right course. He should doge the entire government, but that's what he should do.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you know, we're talking also, we could bring up the FBI director again, since you mentioned the FBI. Unfortunately, Cash Patel hasn't really been leading up to what we've been, I guess most of us were hopeful that he was going to be this incredible director, and he was going to go based on what his own promises were prior to it's so upset. I mean, we talk about the Thomas Kirk stuff. I don't know if you saw Tucker Carlson did a great job. I followed up with the same documents that he had, as well as Miranda Devine. We all got the same documents. And he's out here just saying, oh, well, we showed the American people everything. They didn't show everything until we forced their hand. I mean, how do we sit here and win back this country when we've got people like Cash Patel who literally out? Yeah, I mean, he outlined how to, you know, what all the government corruption was, but he's not really going after it.
No, he needs to be fired, because whatever his excuse, whatever the reason is, he has reversed course. Is now the deep state's bitch.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, look at what he said when the revelation came that there are 274 FBI undercover in the crowd on J6. First of all, it didn't come from his office, which where it should have come from. It came from an office in Congress. But then he covered for them by saying, oh, they were improperly used that day for crowd control, which Steve Baker pointed out correctly is complete bullshit.
Yeah.
So, and President Trump also called it correctly. It's like they were not there for a legitimate purpose. So it's ridiculous, and it's just frustrating that I think President Trump still wants accountability for that, still wants the deep state cleaned out, but the people he's put in charge of it don't have any cojones, and so I think he should be fired. And frankly, so should Bongino, because Bongino has just sat on his hands as well. He's said nothing.
Well, I mean, that's the disappointing part in all of this. And, you know, the last time we spoke, actually, you were talking about, I just want to keep reminding us to our audience, you were talking about restarting up the Oath Keepers. Obviously, you were the founder of the Oath Keepers.
Yes.
We're back in the full effect because, you know, yes, we can't trust our federal government. We can't trust even local sometimes. I'm very doubtful of. So I think you've got a good idea to bring this back together. And it was kind of a dark start to our callers today because a lot of them thought doomsday was coming and that everyone needs to start prepping. And
well, it is unless the Trump administration makes a radical change and gets back on track. First 3 months, they did great work with Doge. They were cleaning house. But then since then, it's obvious that President Trump has put the wrong people in power.
Yeah.
And he needs to fix that. He can fix it. So as I've said before, it's our duty to push him to do his duty.
Yeah.
But the meanwhile, though, we need to get ourselves strong. So, yes, I've relaunched Oath Keepers, oathkeepers.info. Folks can go there. You can join whether you're prior service or not. We always accepted associate members because I believe every American has responsibility to stand up for the Constitution.
Yeah.
And it'll be our job as veterans. Like, I was a paratrooper in the Army. So my job and the job of other veterans and organizations is to train you in how to take care of yourself and your local community. And we're also launching the Strong County Project, which will work from the very bottom up, neighborhood first, then church, then town, then county, to strengthen this country and get it squared away. So we have a responsibility. Duty is ours, results are God's. That's our duty, is to get strong, but also at the same time, push President Trump to do his duty.
Yeah, and I want to remind our audience, you guys can head over to givesendgo.com/oath to help Stewart's efforts to do all of this. Obviously, this is a very expensive thing to do, and you're trying your very best to bring back this country to make sure that the American people are protected and safe. Yeah. So I just wanted to highlight that as we continue to dig into all these topics.
And if I don't have online credit card processing yet, but if they go on givesendgo.com/oath and do a $100 donation, just make a note that it's for membership and I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll make sure it gets processed.
That's good to go. That's good to know. Again, guys, that's givesendgo.com/oath for all of that. That's where you're going to want to go for that. Stewart, I want to keep digging into this because, you know, we continue to play these clips of the FBI director, and it's really not going anywhere with him.
No.
I know you're like ready to flip switch a little bit. You know, we heard President Trump, and let's play that clip again, actually, because I think it's really interesting. You know, President Trump was asked about this yesterday as he's making his way to West Palm Beach. I want to play, it is, I think, clip two, but let me just grab that for you. There was the clip. I can't find it, guys. It's the one where he's talking about the FBI. So we're going to play that clip for you when he's talking about FBI Director Cash Patel when he's asked if he plans on firing him.
Like, I heard that earlier. Yes.
Okay, we'll play that clip actually right now. So take a listen.
And there would be nothing like it.
Are you planning to replace Cash Patel as
FBI? No, he's doing a good job.
This week?
Cash Patel? No, he's doing a great job, I think.
This week we saw those cases against
So as you hear there, he's saying he's happy with him. Your reaction to the president saying he's happy with what's going on right now?
I mean, it's frustrating. He should fire him right now. I mean, I'm not sure who to replace him with. Maybe someone like Carl Serafin or the other whistleblowers, Agent Friend, you know, someone like that. But he needs to fire him. And so this is not good for his own base to listen to him. You know, once again, it just seems like nothing's going to change. And just as like having the CEO of Pfizer in his office and declaring the guy was did a great job during COVID, that has alienated more of his own base. And this is the same thing. We're very frustrated. We want Cash Patel gone. And so it's highly frustrating. I mean, hopefully he's planning on firing him and doesn't want that known yet. But I don't believe in 5D chess anymore. You know, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene was absolutely correct in her resignation letter. And that kind of pulled the curtain back and said, okay, there is no plan to save the world. There is no 5D chess going on. That's very black pill. I still want to hold out hope that President Trump can correct course. I think Alex is on the right track in trying to get him to do that. But it's like the first administration. He's been surrounded by people that are deep staters. And I have no confidence in Susie Wiles. I disagree with Roger Stone on that completely. So I just know that, you know, the proof's in the pudding. And what have they done so far?
Well, tell us a little bit more about the Susie Wiles angle, because I think that's interesting.
Well, I side with Ivan on that. I think Ivan Wrinklin's correct about that. She is the gatekeeper in the White House. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anybody that crosses her is immediately blackballed out of access. So that's possibly why Roger Stone is saying, oh, no, she's good to go, because he doesn't want to lose access. I don't know, but that's just my gut. Mm-hmm. So I think that President Trump needs to clean house entirely, aside from Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, Robert Kennedy Jr., he just stood there like an idiot, like a bump on the log, while the CEO of Pfizer is being praised as a hero. And he just stood there and said nothing. Yeah. So I don't trust him anymore either, frankly. It's sad but true.
Yeah, the Susie Weil thing is interesting to me because, you know, when I was living in Florida, the big point there was that everyone was telling me that Governor Ron DeSantis pushed her out for that reason alone, that the access reason, that she was the guard to him, mm-hmm. and he didn't like that. And so that was the reason why the two of them parted ways, although that hasn't been 100% confirmed. That was just rumor, but that's what a lot of people are seeing behind the scenes. We're kind of seeing it play out right now with President Trump as well. There's a lot of questionable things happening right now with the administration. You know, you mentioned MTG. Let's kind of focus on that a bit, because when she announced her resignation just a few days ago, last Friday, actually, I was really, really upset. Not because of the obvious. You know, I do love her and I appreciate all that she's done. But the reality is now I'm upset because, like, that's the reality that we all have to face now, that this is it's not what we signed up for. It's not what we voted for. I was enthusiastic when the president made his way back into the White House on election night. Got very emotional for a lot of us because we knew that there was going to be great things ahead. That's what we were hopeful for.
I was emotional, too. That's a fact.
Well, that was my big one. Yeah, well, because, you know, so many of my...
We were in prison at the time, yeah.
So that was the one good thing.
It was a great night.
I was just talking to friends, and you got to kind of walk us through that. I was just talking to friends, too, and I was telling them, you know, I was very excited... because I knew my friends who I've made behind prison bars, all of you guys who were there when I was calling you, texting you guys were going to be freed.
Right.
That's the only exciting moment that I've had thus far under this administration. Nothing else has changed.
Well, that and Doge. Doge was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the right course right there. So, I mean, I don't like what I just saw with President Trump condemning Marjorie Taylor Greene as a traitor. She's not a traitor.
She's not.
And neither is Massey. And neither is Rand Paul. Exactly. And so I don't know what's going on with that. He's been, I think someone's gotten in his ear and said, oh, these people are not loyal to you, and so therefore they're traitors. They're loyal to the Constitution. And if Trump is varying from that, I have a responsibility to call him out also.
Yeah.
Under my oath, I have to. So the big, beautiful bill was anything but. It was horrible. All it does is it increased more spending with a bunch of crap, you know, thrown in,
yeah.
Like they always do. And so she called that out. She called out the Epstein files for what it is. He was working for Mossad and CIA, obviously. Mm-hmm. There really is a client list. And for some reason, they've reversed course and are hiding that now. And so he's lost credibility with his own base. So, you know, throwing in the trash the three strongest constitutionalists in Congress is not a good way to roll to keep the majority in Congress. But I fear that the old guard, like Lindsey Graham, for example, and the GOP, they don't care about losing control. They would rather have lose the House and Senate, you know, lose control and still continue the grift that they're part of rather than taking it down. They don't want that to happen. So they're more than happy to go ahead and spike the control of Congress.
But we saw that firsthand. This is a great point that you bring up, because we saw Lindsey Graham. He had no problem during the last big midterm. It was supposed to be a red wave, everyone said. And it wasn't a red wave. And that's because Lindsey Graham, knowing that we did not have, obviously, the White House, and we didn't have the majority anywhere else, Lindsey Graham went in front of the cameras and said, you know, I want to present an abortion ban, which obviously is not realistic because you don't have the numbers to back that up. But he did that to fire up their base and to get them out to vote, because he knows that that's a really emotional issue for so many on the left, that they'll go out and vote just on the single issue of abortion. I mean, that is their big one. And so to sit there and watch Lindsey Graham do that and completely derail the Republican Party, I don't know how we associate with him anymore. And we're watching, and I know you're going to love the way on this one, or the Arctic Frost. He's playing victim. He's saying, oh, I'm going to sue. Then they put the provision in the CR to make sure that they had a clear lane to sue for $500,000. I mean, this guy is an absolute piece of garbage. And then you have the president going after Marjorie Taylor Greene, obviously, like you mentioned, Massey, as well as Paul as well.
Right.
But I think also the key point here is he can't get his own nominees confirmed by Republican senators. And he will never match that same level of energy that he had for all three of those individuals that he had these senators. He doesn't speak out. I remember there's a couple of people who said, well, you know,
Tillis, for example,
yes,
from North Carolina.
And he won't do anything about it. He'll sit there and say, oh, well, I need, it's going to cost me too much political capital. And then he just bounces on the idea. And then he goes with a safe pick, like he did with Pam Bondi. I mean, Pam Bondi was thrown into her position because he couldn't get anyone else confirmed that would have actually been productive.
Right.
And so here we are now, and he's going after people who are on his side. People vote with him about, 90% of the time, and he's a slight disagreement with them, and he goes off the rails.
Right. I think he's been steered into that, bringing back to to Susie Wiles.
Yeah.
It goes the same thing with who he supports, endorses around the country. He's endorsing horrible rhinos, endorsing, you know, deep state, surveillance state neocons, mm-hmm. who his own base with the Ron Paul Republicans, the independents will never support. And so he's losing his own base. I think it's being done intentionally. Like I said, they would prefer to lose and one reason why they would want to lose control of the House and Senate, because now they have the excuse to sit back and go, oh, we lost control, so we can't get anything passed anymore. It's the same old dog and pony show. So it releases them from any liability in the long run. They can tell the constituents, I'm fighting the good fight, when they're sitting on their hands and letting the bad guys take over.
Yeah, we just got breaking news in. I just wanted to bring this to our audience. It's very brief, though. It's only one sentence that we have right now as we continue to see more developments. But Georgia has just decided to dismiss all outstanding charges against those involved in the 2020 election interference case.
That's
the one with President Trump and all of his co-defendants. So, I mean, we knew that was coming. We knew that was going to happen, but it looks like it's official now. That's according to Fox News and NBC News as well, right, that this is being dismissed. That was one of the many cases that they should have never brought on in the first place. And yet here we are. Your reaction, again, this was like Fannie Willis and all of them out there. They were literally working at the White House. When you looked at the logs to see who was coming into the White House, it was people associated with Fannie Willis and Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade as well.
No, that's good news. Yeah. And I want to give props to Trump for something he did right.
Mm-hmm.
He pardoned all the alternate slates and went ahead and did like a preemptive pardon mm-hmm. of John Eastman, Sidney Powell, and other attorneys who are working for that. And I think it actually applies to us J6ers who still need a pardon. That's the argument I'm going to make. It's because I think Ivan Ranklin's correct about that. The language in there is loose enough. It says any other, not limited to these people, but listed the names of all those people and said not limited to them, anyone who stood up and opposed the 2020 election coup and called for full disclosure investigation in support of the alternate states. Well, I did that, for example. So I think this is good. So I'm going to give props to President Trump for that. I think he wants a 2020 election investigated, which is why I'm frustrated. But the DOJ has not been cleaned out. This is why he can't get any indictments, because you know the first U.S. attorney assigned to the Comey case, it was dragging his feet intentionally to run the clock out. So Trump installed his own lawyer to go take care of it, and she did very effectively. And then now, of course, the judge is saying she's not properly appointed. So that just shows the need to purge the DOJ. I had a team of like 8 lawyers on me and my guys, so against us in our trial. So you shouldn't have to rely on one good lawyer because you can't trust the rest of the DOJ to do their job. The DOJ must be purged. The fact that Bondi has not purged the DOJ is why Bondi has to go. He's got to put a firebrand in there, and he can do a recess appointment. He can fire her over the holidays, put somebody else in while Congress is on holiday recess, install a firebrand, make Ed Martin the Attorney General of the United States, for example, or Jeffrey Clark, bring him back in.
Well, it's funny because I'm actually going through, I just got a document sent over from Jeff Clark legal team, and I was just going to go through that in a little bit, but...
Yeah. He's one of the ones pardoned by Trump, by the way, for that issue in Georgia.
And he's still dealing with it, though. I was very surprised. So they're trying to disbar him in D.C.
Yeah, no surprise.
Yeah, and they're also, like, I keep hearing he's one of the many people under attack right now because he is a patriot. He loves his country.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They don't like that. And he is a loyalist when it comes to the Constitution. And so they don't like that. They're trying to purge him. But when it comes to Jeff Clark, it's not just him. You say Ed Martin.
Both of them. I mean, that's how you know they're good people, because they're being attacked.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. And we saw last week, too, there was a report that came out that claimed that Ed Martin was under investigation by the DOJ. That falls. We spoke to Ed Martin directly, and he said it's not true. He's not under investigation. But there's a reason why they wouldn't confirm Ed Martin. They pushed back so hard, and it's because Ed Martin's got nothing to lose. He loves his country. He would have been an individual who would actually push for all these people to go to prison, and they pushed so aggressively hard to make sure that he wasn't the president's nominee.
They're afraid of him.
Exactly.
Right. And now he's in charge of the weaponization department, but the word is from Peter Tichtin is that he's not being funded. That Todd Blanche is blocking his support and being able to actually do his job. So same thing. So I think Bondi should be fired and Todd Blanche should be fired too.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And then, you know, Ed Martin's been such a powerhouse when it comes to all of this. So it's really upsetting to continue to hear. We're going to keep our eye on that, though, because Ed Martin definitely is someone who we want to go out there and to get justice. But again, he can't do this on his own. He needs the DOJ to back him. And I don't think he has the support. Todd Blanche, your thoughts about him, because we continue to hear all the stories about how things just land on his desk. like pardons. I mean,
and
we have Patriots still. Yeah, and yeah. I was told, oh, your sources are good. We're telling you this from somebody who used to be on his team, but now all of a sudden they won't sit here and do anything about it. They won't sit there and they're like, oh, yeah, it's on his desk. But he's got a ton of things on his desk right now. But we have people who are Patriots. I mean, I keep bringing it up, the officer involved in the Breonna Taylor shooting didn't shoot Breonna Taylor, but was there when his buddy got shot in the leg. Brett Hankinson, he is still right now sitting in solitary confinement, and our own DOJ placed him there but won't free him, even though they know that he was innocent and that he should have never been prosecuted in the first place. But Todd Blanche not doing anything about that.
Well, he's not the pardon attorney, but yet apparently he's blocking. Ed Martin's a pardon attorney, but yeah. But obviously Ed Martin is being blocked by Todd Blanche. That's why he needs to be removed.
Yeah.
So President Trump has got to focus inward, and like Alex said yesterday, he's got to clean his own house.
Yeah.
He's got to make sure he has nothing but loyal patriots, not just loyal to him, but loyal to the country. Mm-hmm. That's what he has to have. That's what his base expects. And without that, I think he's going to, you know, he's going to cause his base to be black-pilled, and they're just going to stay home. And you can yell and scream at them all you want, GOP. They're going to stay home. They're not going to bother to turn out. Even the Trump loyal base is going to be dispirited and black-pilled and just will stay home. Like one of your callers said earlier, why should I go on a Tuesday and skip work to go vote for what? When it's going to change nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't matter who's has a majority. I mean, they don't. Well, Democrats, they further their agenda. They do actually pretty
well. It'll be worse if they get the majority. But the point is that the base will be dispirited and just not going to get the turnout. And this is loyal Trump or Trump people, mm-hmm. not to mention the crossover Democrats who voted for Trump because they believed he was going to actually take down the establishment and stand up for the little guy. And they see all the H-1B visas taking more American jobs. And they see, you know, 600,000 communist Chinese spies coming in, you know, called students. Mm-hmm. And they don't like that either. So they said, OK, they're not really putting America first. People want America first, period. We don't want AIPAC first. We don't want Israel first also. We want America first. And unless the Trump administration delivers that, he's going to lose the support of that massive coalition that voted for him in 2024.
It's so frustrating because I don't understand how they don't see this. They've got him so isolated.
I think they do. Like I said, they see it, but they don't care because they want MAGA to die.
Yeah.
They want America first to die because they're in on the grift. And this goes for the people in his circle that are making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they go and raise these big, massive fundraisers, $1 million a plate. I just heard about one coming up in Miami, $1 million a plate for a candlelight dinner with President Trump. So who's going to be there? Big Pharma, for example. They're going to be sitting at the table. And then they tell President Trump, oh, look, we just brought in $10 million, $20 million for the midterms. We're going to win. And so all he sees is that. He thinks they're going to win the midterms.
Who's running that dinner? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm going to pass that to you guys to go look into it.
They pulled it up. We got the best control room.
It was a whistleblower that doesn't want to be identified, but this person's willing to talk to you guys.
Yeah, well, Trump to headline $1 million per person fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago. That was October 7th. That was published.
Right. There's one coming up in January down in Florida, in Miami.
That's so crazy.
I'll pass that to you guys because this person's willing to talk to you. He wants to pass the information to you.
Well, I would love to hear this because, I mean, again, that's just so unrealistic.
That's part of the grift.
Yeah.
There's the grift and, you know, I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no.
But, like, you got the grift you obviously saw with Doge exposing all the lefties, what they do.
Yeah.
But there's grift in the fundraising circuit on the political right also.
Yeah.
And that's how they buy favors, pay per play.
Yeah, that's what I always say. It happens at both sides, and I saw it under the first term where people were getting consulting fees, and then magically the people that were paying for these consulting fees were getting pardons or whatever was needed necessary.
Or getting access.
Yes.
Like the CEO of Pfizer standing in the Oval Office being praised as a good guy.
As a
great guy. He's a mass murderer.
Yeah.
So the base looks at that. I mean, I think 99% of the Trump base now realizes that the shots are part of intentional culling of the rural population.
Yeah, well, let's dig into that in just a little bit because we're about to hit a hard commercial break, but I wanted to dive into the Pfizer angle on this because this is really upsetting to continuously see. I know a lot of people have accused him of a lot of crazy things. They're not so crazy, and that's sarcasm, but the reality of it is, yeah, like you said, RFK Jr. being there and not speaking up, that's concerning. We'll dive into that in a minute. Folks, in the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We got our Black Friday sale going on early. You can get a great sweater like this, 25% off right now over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. Plus, it's BOGO on all supplements while supplies last over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue, that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking methylene blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operations a true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com Nitric Boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to the American Journal. We've got our third hour kicking off right now with my guy, Stuart Rhodes, here. Host, of course, the founder of Yield Keepers. And we're talking a lot. It's been kind of disappointing lately so far.
It's a dumpster fire.
I try to say it the nicer way. You're like, it's a dumpster fire, Brianna.
Well, it's been a dumpster fire, but hopefully it'll turn around. I have hope.
Well, listen, the one really good thing is if they allow it to get to President Trump, if he finds out that his base is really fired up and angry at him for a lot of things that have been happening, he might reverse course. That's the one good thing. He actually listens sometimes to the base. So that's the one good thing that we kind of hang on here. But, you know, before we went to break, we were talking about Pfizer and how disappointed we all were the fact that he continues to shuffle in the CEO of Pfizer. You know, we just did a story, too, on Meta and how they were allowing those who are accused of sex trafficking on their platforms like Facebook and Instagram to get up to 17 or 16 strikes. Their 17th strike was their way when they got their accounts pulled.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that was a big point in all of this. And I'll let you talk about that for a little bit. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg all of a sudden has access to the White House these days, having dinner with the president.
It's
this
disgusting.
Is the guy who literally Zuckerbucks. I mean, how did everyone forget about this?
Yeah, he funded the coup of 2020 across the country. You know, the very overt plot to steal the election was funded by Zuckerbucks. And just it's just baffling that President Trump has him in his inner circle in the White House. Or right there in the front row during his inauguration, during his swearing-in ceremony.
Yeah, it's even allowed. I got access to the inauguration, then obviously all the stuff that happened, my access was taken away.
But how do you explain that?
Yeah, but Zuckerberg got in.
Why?
Yeah. Money.
Yeah, I think in some ways President Trump believes that these men are intelligent. Well, they are, obviously, but they're also evil.
Yeah.
So he respects them as successful titans of business. And I think also with the tech world, I think he's falling into a major trap with Peter Thiel and the rest who are supposedly on his side.
Yeah.
They've wormed their way into his administration. Same goes for Bezos, you know, Amazon.com. So Meta building these massive data centers all over the United States, Meta's part of that, right? Those are for surveillance. I think that you guys had Maria V on over Sunday. She's completely right about that. So they don't give a damn about America. They're putting them in rural areas, draining the water, draining all the wells. They could build next to the oceans. They just don't care. And they're letting you know they don't care. And the ultimate purpose of those data centers is going to be mass surveillance over all of us.
Yeah, and you know, the First Lady, because I also get her press announcements quite often. She's really an advocate for AI these days and like pushing us forward on AI. And there was a story. Okay, let me pull it up now. There was a story that I did actually want to talk about later in the show, but now would be a good time to talk about it because it's deeply, deeply concerning in regards to AI and the jobs it intends on taking over. This one coming from the Times. This one saying pretty much, I believe it was 40% of our jobs will be slowly taken over by AI very, very soon. Some of those tasks being carried out could possibly even include like healthcare workers. So yeah, most of the roles at risk, about 40%, involve all different kinds of drafted jobs that the AI will be taking over. Hiring is slowing down as well for paralegals, and it just kind of outlines programmers, others founded research. So it's outlining a whole bunch of jobs, but they're saying about 40% of jobs in the next upcoming years will be taken over by AI. And then also Amazon, this one was also deeply concerning. Let me pull this one up as well. This one outlining how Amazon is spending $50 billion on AI infrastructure for the U.S. government. Again, that is concerning. You know, you mentioned Bezos and all of that. I mean, the fact that they're dumping all of this money into this to replace American workers. You know, I've got family who lives in rural areas, and I mean, Amazon's their big employer. Now they're at risk of potentially losing their jobs to AI.
Yep.
And the U.S. government's getting involved in this too, and bringing these jobs or bringing Amazon in on that front. I mean, what the heck are we doing here? How do Americans compete with this plus H-1B visas?
Separate yourself from the machine. Stop using Amazon. We all need to boycott Amazon. Stop using them. Because all you're doing is funding your own demise. Yeah. And Catherine Austin Fitz gave a speech about this in Palm Beach just this last week. Mm-hmm. I was happy to be there and listen to her. She's correct. She said she was talking to a bunch of wealthy conservatives from Palm Beach. She said, you're funding your own demise because you're all using banks. You're all invested in Wall Street and companies that are good returns, but they're destroying our country. And Amazon's one of them. Meta's another one of them. So we need to separate ourselves from them and you know, break the addiction to their platforms. I mean, I'm an Amazon Prime member. I need to cancel that. We all need to get off of Amazon and stop using it. Because otherwise, all you're going to do is speed up the technocrats' dream of a world where they depopulate the planet, and she's called it since 2020. She called it the pandemic back then and said it's the great colon. They needed labor for all this, you know, for centuries. They've used labor, people, because they needed them. But now with AI and robotics, they don't see any need for us anymore. They see us as useless eaters, like, you know, cattle that's no longer, I know, obsolete. So they want to depopulate the planet and live their lives as you know, merge machine and man. You know, that's why they're transhumanist. So that's what they really want to do. So we should accept reality. This is the actual goal of these technocrats, like Peter Thiel, for example, who worships, you know, has this fascination with setting the Antichrist. So he wants a world where, I believe, where he and his technocrat overlord buddies rule and the rest of us are just exterminated.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
No, I mean, I've heard... I don't know. I align with that, too. It's just, it's so upsetting. You know, we have Mel Kay on the show often, too, and she's got the same thing when it comes to all of this tech stuff. She's been trying to blow the whistle on all of this and try to get people to get interested in the topic itself, because it's one of the top ones when it comes to taking over this country, taking over. But it's her saying is that this, what's standing in the globalist way is our country, our constitution, and they're going to do whatever they can to take us out. And so
we
that's
the people. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and we need to actually be paying attention to this. I don't think a lot of people are. I want to touch this topic too with you, because this one's is a really, really good one. And I don't think a lot of people have been paying much in the way of attention to it. But Greg Abbott, all of a sudden, is now getting engaged.
Right.
And it's bizarre because he's been governor for several years now, but he's going after CARE, the Muslim Brotherhood, designating them
He's going after them.
Yeah.
So he declared them a terrorist organization, which is accurate.
Yeah.
But from what I'm hearing from people that are paying attention in the legislature is that's really the legislative function in Texas.
Yes.
That it's just PR for the cameras. It's not really good. He's being sued by them, and they'll probably prevail in Texas courts for all the reasons we already talked about. But I think one of the problems is that this is just window dressing. From what I know, Texas has funded to the tune of millions the building of mosques through grants that they gave to all the different radical jihadist organizations in Texas to go build mosques. So on his watch, it's been going on for years now. And then all of a sudden now, when he's coming into an election cycle, is he declaring CARE and Muslim Brotherhood to be terrorist organizations? It's the same thing he does on the border. He'll have the dog and pony show of barbed wire and floating barbed wire for that one little mile stretch of the Rio Grande in Eagle Pass, while the rest of the border is wide open. In fact, I flew with a film crew from InfoWars. We got in a private plane and flew the length of the Texas border years ago, showing Americans how wide open the border was. But all they see is what they see on Fox News. Oh, Abbott's strong on the border. Look at this, all this concertina wire. They don't realize that outside of the camera shot is wide open border. And that's the way he wants it. He's a governor of Texas. He could have sealed the border a long time ago. It's not sealed because he didn't want it sealed. The same is true for all the mosques being built in Texas. He's allowed the funding to go through. I mean, we don't get funding. I don't know any churches that get grant money to go build churches anywhere, but the mosques are being funded by Texas taxpayer money to go build. So I think it's just dog and pony show.
Well, you know what they actually say in their defense, and this isn't me defending them. This is Greg Abbott's office saying in his defense that the money that we're seeing that was reported by the Rare Foundation that was getting funneled to these mosques, he's claiming, they're trying to claim that that money is money from DHS. Now, DHS has allocated money towards churches, temples, and mosques if there is a threat of terrorism. But what they won't tell you, though, is a lot of these mosques, and again, this is from just what I found in the Rare Foundation's uncovering and all of this, Amy Mech does a great job at digging through this.
Right.
She found that these mosques that we're giving this money to are the ones that are also welcoming Islamic terrorists in, alleged Islamic terrorists in, we should say, to play it safe. But she's been calling that out for years. So while Greg Abbott continues to say, it's not my money, it's not Texas money, it's DHS who's giving it to us, and I have to split it up equally because obviously we have the First Amendment here, and that's what they were claiming.
We shouldn't be funding terrorists.
The idea is to prevent terrorism, and that was the idea of the money that was being given out.
Right.
But here they are giving it to people who are welcoming these terrorists allegedly in to their mosque, and they don't like us talking about it, too. You know, there's another one, too. They always go after Amy Mech, and I saw them at the Texas press conference announcing that lawsuit that you talked about, CARE specifically, and I believe it was an attorney that was at the press conference, called out Amy Mech specifically for her reporting, saying she's creating all this hate in this country, specifically in Texas, for exposing all of this. She's not doing anything like making up lies. We literally saw a video. She put up the video herself in her own reporting where there was a mosque here. There was two mosques, actually. They had a speaker there. It's the same speaker on both sides. I'm not remembering his name. We play the footage here in the soundbite here on the show. But he's going out and telling Muslim men that they could hit their wives, but to be very strategic about it, where you don't leave a mark, but you're also trying to bring her back to her senses. And then he goes on to another mosque by saying, well, you could beat them, but just don't kill them. And all she's doing is taking their own words and posting it online, and they've declared her as a threat, and they're gunning for her. I mean, the fact that they're mentioning her name at press conferences tells me everything.
Yeah, when you speak the truth about Islam, about their own desire for Sharia, and you quote the clerics who are calling for Sharia law in the United States, they call you an Islamophobe.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just they don't want you. They're trying to suppress you speaking the truth. The same as if you call out CARE and call out Mossad for its operations inside the United States, they accuse you of being anti-Semitic. They don't want you even talking about it. So in this country, I don't believe Islam is compatible with our Constitution. I really don't. I don't believe it's a religion. I think it's a geopolitical totalitarian government system. Because
yeah.
you can't separate Sharia law from Islam. And you go back to, I think her name is Ayaan Hirsch Ali, who was a former Muslim from Somalia, who had suffered genital mutilation as a young girl, had fled an arranged marriage, fled to the Netherlands, now lives in the United States. She's now an atheist. But she speaks out and says, this is Islam. It's not radical Islam versus Islam. Yeah. It's Islam is Islam. And part of it, built into it, is a war on all non-believers and is imposition of Sharia law when they become a majority. And we're seeing that right now in Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And by the way, the video that we have up right now, this was based on Amy Meck's reporting. The mosque, I was talking about the speaker. This is the individual who came there and spoke about you can hit your wives, but just be careful when you do. Don't leave a mark. And this is the problem that we have here. And like you just said, I mean, this is it's not only not compatible. They always use the religion excuse. I mean, you need to be able to knock that down because they're using our own constitution against us. And that's how they're being able to conquer those in the West. Specifically, they're going to start conquering us. I mean, we're losing major cities, New York City obviously being a big one to lose to Zohran Mamdani. But I kept telling people, like, it's just the beginning. We're watching a pop up, too, as well in Georgia. There is a couple of very key, they call themselves socialists, but they're communists and they're Muslims, and they are running for office. They understand how to defeat our system internally through our election process. And in fact, Zohran Mamdani is somebody who came to here in 2018, became a U.S. citizen in 2018, but the plan was back in 2014 to have him run for governor, New York City mayor. So they have a plan in place to conquer the West, and they're carrying it out, and it's just devastating to watch.
So they masquerade as leftists to get the leftist support. Keith Ellison did the exact same thing in Minnesota. He's a complete jihadist, but he masquerades as a leftist to get leftist support. In the end, though, they're laughing in their sleeve at the leftists. And I mean, they can't understand this. I mean, they're gonna kill all the homosexuals, all the trans, all the rainbow coalition of sexual coalition is gonna be slaughtered when the Muslims take over.
Yeah.
But they're using them as useful idiots.
And the other thing, too, is I know a lot of people like to make a difference in Islam, like you said before, radical Islam, and then they just say these are Muslims who just practice a religion and they do so peacefully. Those individuals will also be slaughtered because they don't like the fact that they are not following it completely to the word.
Anyone who is a moderate Muslim is considered a heretic by the fundamentalists. And as Ayaan Hirsch Ali points out, it's the radicals who are actually being true to the examples of the prophet's life and to his commandments to make war on non-believers.
Yeah.
And so they're actually the legit, sincere Muslims are the ones that are radical and want to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's why we're going to have mass deportations of Muslims in this country.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, and most of us understand it. I know that this is this is being spoken about now in more churches throughout this country. I think more people are understanding this, and they're starting to make we can't have this is becoming an issue. I hope that we could save this country before it's too late. I think I just ran it in Italy. They just put out statistics saying that 41% of their sexual assault cases are all due to their illegal aliens or the migrants that they've imported over the years.
Same in Sweden, same in France, same in the UK.
Right. Well, the State Department actually put out, I think it was Friday, we talked about it on this show, they put out a thread outlining how mass migration has destroyed the West, and they're outlining specifically each country. Now, I don't know what they plan on making of it, but I mean, at least the State Department's talking about it. I mean, they outlined the UK, France, like you just said, Spain, and they were going case by case to show how bad it's gotten. I mean, I think it was France, but no, I don't think so. I think it might have been Switzerland. When there was the individual who was charged, apparently he's Muslim, he was charged with rape, but he wasn't deported because the rape itself didn't last long enough, so they didn't view it as something that was that traumatic to her, and so he's being able to stay in the country. I mean, that case was outlined earlier this year as well, and so it's just like, at what point do these countries hit their breaking point? We go, enough is enough, and everyone start bonding together and start revolting.
Well, the people are reaching that point in the UK, I think in other countries as well. But their politicians have sold them out.
Yeah.
And I feel the same is true in our country, too.
Yeah.
So going back to Greg Abbott, on his watch, they funded the building of more mosques in Texas. And now he's trying to cover his tracks because he wants to be reelected. And by the way, I support Doc Pete Chambers as his opponent. I think Doc is a true blue patriot. Special Forces doctor. I'll link you guys up. Get him on your show.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I want to also, you're here, obviously, get to the Seditious Six, that story that broke, obviously, earlier this week. President Trump going after the individuals, the senators, the congressmen who decided to come together and tell service members, if you deem that something is unlawful, an order that's given out, you don't actually have to comply with it.
That's true.
Well, I want to play this clip. I want to play clip 9.
Which is bizarre, because that's what Oath Keepers advocated back then. They called us anti-government extremists for saying that. But now there's a conservative in the White House. Now they're saying it.
But let's listen to what Roger Stone said, because Roger Stone, and it actually, this got a lot of people's attention. Take a listen to clip 9.
But the larger question, Alex, the single most important question is, will there be prosecutions in the Southern District of Florida against Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Weissman, Mueller himself, Biden, Susan Rice, and those, including Barack Obama, who pulled off the greatest single dirty trick in American history, the greatest single abuse of power, the Russian collusion hoax. Now, we were all encouraged a couple days ago, when we heard that subpoenas had been issued. But I'm going to be honest with you, Alex, my sources tell me that there is no ongoing operation in the Southern District of Florida, that those subpoenas have not yet been returned, that there is not a grand jury looking at this. If that is true, that is very deeply troubled. They're trying to run out the clock.
Yeah, right.
I love this president.
I
support him unconditionally, but recognize that this is not about retaliation or revenge. This is about accountability and justice. And if those who pulled off the Russian collusion hoax, those who tried to destroy your life, Alex, those who tried to destroy the life of that great American patriot, General Michael Flynn, and his family, those who tried to destroy me, those who tried to destroy President Donald Trump, if they are not held responsible, if legal technicalities are used to give them a walk, Republicans will not turn out in this next midterm election. They will lose faith. I know the president wants justice. I know the president expects justice. I know the president believes his Justice Department is working on this. I spoke to him about it. He is committed to accountability and justice. But whether that will happen really remains to be seen.
I want to get your reaction to those comments he made, and then get your reaction to the Pentagon move later this week.
He's correct that the Crossfire Hurricane nonsense and the Russiagate nonsense is not being investigated. And that's precisely because they have not purged out the old guard and the DOJ. The DOJ is now exactly like it was under Biden. The same people are still in power. Mm-hmm. They must be purged out. But disagree with Roger. I don't think that was the greatest crime in our nation's history, the greatest coup. 2020 was far more so than that. Mm-hmm. That was their attempt to stop Trump the first time. It failed, but they succeeded the second time. And it was far more damaging to our republic, including putting all the J6ers in prison.
Yeah.
So not only did they seek to ruin his life and Trump's life and all the names he mentioned, but also all of us. You know, myself, Enrique Tarrio, 18 years for me, 22 years for Enrique, you know, 18 years for a lot of the other, like Joe Biggs, for example, got 18 years also. And all the other Oath Keepers have got 14 years, 7 years, 8 years. We were all political prisoners. We were all victims of the same exact people. So it's great to mention all the big wigs who are known to the public, but what about the rest of us?
Yeah. And those are the stories that I always try to focus on, because obviously we're all wronged. And
the message is that they are going to, if they come back into power, they're going to go after every single one of you out there. Every Trump supporter is going to wind up in a concentration camp or dead if they're going back into power. That's why they must be stopped now while President Trump is commander-in-chief. So we got to pull the rose-colored glasses off. It's not 5D chess, like Marjorie Taylor Greene said. We have to get him to do his duty. You can't just say, oh, he's doing this because he's lulling them into a false sense of security. No, they are running. I do agree with this, what Roger said. They're running the clock out on him. They're going to delay, 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 and run the clock out like they did the first administration. That's why we've got a lot of fire under President Trump to get it done.
And I want to get your take on this, because you saw earlier this week the Pentagon announcing Mark Kelly, they were going to start launching an investigation of him and going after him next. There was a video that Democrats posted online. I kind of want to get your take on this. They we're all saying to service members that if you're given an order that you deem as illegal, you don't have to actually carry it through. This
that's
obviously
true.
Ticked off the president. Yeah, let me hear your side of that.
No, it's true. That's what we were teaching the military, because it's a fact, reminding them of their responsibility under their oath. This is not like Nazi Germany, where the oath was to the Führer to obey him unconditionally. that our under our constitutional order, the oath is to the Constitution. All of them take an oath to the Constitution also, members of Congress, judges, everybody. The thing is, most of them are oath breakers. What's going on, though, of course, and Alex called it correctly yesterday, is what they're doing is they're playing a sleight of hand. They're pointing out something that is true. And members of the military can go look at UCMJ and see their responsibility to say no to blatantly unlawful orders. There's a presumption an order is lawful, but if you know an order is blatantly unlawful, like shooting women and children, for example, like happened with Lieutenant Colley during the My Lai massacre, or the gun confiscation during Katrina, where they went house to house and confiscated guns, was obviously, should have been obviously, an unconstitutional order. Yeah. That was a big wake-up call for us. We use that to say this is why we have to teach the military and police about the Constitution. So they're correct, factually correct about that responsibility to say no to unlawful orders. But of course, they didn't give a damn about any of that while Barack Obama was in power or Biden was in power. And for us, the Oath Keepers, calling out that that's the responsibility. They called us anti-government extremist, and they yelled and screamed that you're going to cause dissension in the ranks, that you can't have a lowly private deciding what's lawful or not. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. A private has an obligation and duty to refuse unlawful orders. So they're just playing hide the ball, though. Obviously, what they want is for the military to think that everything President Trump is doing is unlawful when it's not. So him sending the National Guard into big cities, for example, that are now sites of insurrection, direct violation of federal law, you know, attacking ICE agents, that's completely constitutional. And so that's why it's my responsibility and all of us to educate the troops about, hey, here are the bright lines. Here are the things that are not constitutional, and here are the things that are. And one thing that's not constitutional is CIA running domestic operations, which is what this is.
And that's a great point that you bring up, because, again, it's them creating chaos and confusion. Right. And they do that very, very well. And we know that. And, again, they're not supposed to be operating here in the United States. Right. It's crazy that we are even talking about that. But that's exactly what it looks like, especially because one of them, the leader, I believe, on that video, I believe that she's got a CIA background. Am I correct? Okay.
And that's what we need. This is so frustrating. Yeah. That's why we need full exposure.
Yeah.
If you go in and you throw the doors open to the CIA and show all the internal, I'm sure they're arrogant enough to be using their own email system and their own text messages. Just expose all of that. You'll expose the actual intent and the actual coup that they're pulling. And this is window dressing for their coup. This is factually correct, like Alex pointed out. It's factually correct, but behind that is something you can't defend. Yeah. It's an indefensible coup.
Folks, you're doing a great job, by the way, Stuart, as trying to get this together, trying to bring back the Oath Keepers and trying to protect the American people and make sure the American people understand just that. Folks, if you want to help out his work, and I highly recommend you do just that, head on over right now to GiveSendGo, because that's where he is collecting donations to keep this going. Head on over, givesendgo.com/oath. That's givesendgo.com/oath. And no donation is too small. Again, this is how you help his efforts to bring back the Oath Keepers and to make sure that our communities are prepared for whatever comes their way, because we know something's cooking up these days.
Absolutely.
So we appreciate that. And again, you want to give out your website regarding for those who want to learn more about how they could join the Oath Keepers?
Yes, so it's oathkeepers.info.
Okay.
So we had oathkeepers.org back in the day, but I lost that one. Someone snapped that up while I was in prison. So now they want like $30,000 for it. So oathkeepers.info is a new website.
Oh, man, Stuart Rhodes, it's never ending. Thank you for joining me, of course. We appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
It's an honor to have you here in studio. And folks, it's an honor to have you all with us. Of course, we are thankful to our audience. You guys have all kept us up and running, and we're very, very grateful for that. So happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Eat a lot. Not too much, though. Not too much. Alex is up next on the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.